Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
Our next guest is downright multi-talented. She is a Grammy-nominated musician, journalist, and author. She wrote Mozart in the Jungle, Sex, Drugs, and Classical Music, and now is a consultant for the hit Golden Globes-nominated series with the same name. It is great to say hello to Blair Tindall. Blair, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This book, this series, has shined a light into a world that was never really looked at this way. Tell us how the book came about.
I went back to journalism school sort of later in life, and it grew out of a class there. I had written a story that was assigned, and the whole class was silent after I had been selected to read it, and I thought, oh my God, why did I leave my Broadway show job? I'm terrible at this. Finally, somebody said, you've got to write a book. Nobody knows about this.
And it's an amazing look. People think classical music, and they think stodgy, and they think older guys with white hair all over the place.
Yeah.
These are real people, just like you and me, with an immense talent, and it's people that live their lives just like we do.
Well, every part of society is a cross-section just like any other section of society. It's just that we're kind of hidden, and all those old guys were young people playing their instruments at one point.
That's right. So the series, it's a big hit on Amazon, also nominated for a Golden Globe as Best Comedy Series. Now, you're a consultant, so what exactly does that mean? What's your involvement with the whole production?
Well, they gave me a little cameo role. I think I'm in episode 7 this season.
Very nice.
Usher, playing opposite Gael. And this was my first acting job since the age of 3. I was in an insurance commercial when I was 3.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
And I learned that acting's a lot harder than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's got to be really cool for you because, all right, this whole project is because of you and the book. And even though you're there in your little cameo role, if it wasn't for you, this whole thing wouldn't be going on in the first place.
Right.
Well, when I sat down to write the book proposal, I realized generally a nonfiction book takes about a year to produce. So if I was going to spend a year of my life, I wanted it to really go as far as it could. I bought a bunch of screenwriting books and tried to write the book in a cinematic three-act structure so it would appeal to people who might want to make a series or a film out of it. And fortunately, the Coppola family picked it up. I couldn't be in better hands.
Do they ask your advice on, like, scenes or, hey, how do you think we should do, you know, X, Y, and Z over here? Like, are they taking your input and going with it?
Yes. The Coppola family actually have a couple of members of the family who are very accomplished musicians, but they'll call me and say, when an orchestra comes on stage, what's the protocol? How does this happen? What do you call this particular person or event? My favorite question was, if you drop an oboe, I play the oboe, mm-hmm. instrument that looks like a clarinet. If you drop it, will it roll?
Oh, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty details here. Okay.
So just to make sure, we did an experiment, and it does not.
Oh, it does not roll. Got
and
it.
And now you've got yourself
a broken oboe
on your hands.
they're actually fairly indestructible.
So
wow.
Funny.
It's amazing on so many different levels because, all right, you are so multi-talented in so many different ways. You played principal oboe with the New York
Philharmonic,
the San Francisco Symphony, the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, and the Orchestra of St. Luke's.
Wow.
And here's one that really just jumped out at me after I read that. Also, a solo performance on the film soundtrack of Spike Lee's Malcolm X. How did you get involved with Spike Lee?
Oh, well, the man who hired the orchestra, I was playing in a Broadway show with him at the time, and they were trying to hire as many African-American musicians as they could, and there just simply wasn't even one African-American oboist in town at the time, so I ended up getting the gig. I was quite featured in that film. I also recorded the incidental music for Mozart in the Jungle a couple of months ago with some Los Angeles musicians.
Very cool.
Very awesome.
Very nice.
I think you're our first oboist that's been on the show.
That's true. We have not had an oboist on the show. You will always be the first oboist that was ever on this program.
When,
Golden Globe, you know what? So much for that. I think this is more important.
This is very important right here. So how did you get started? Like, what was like, did you play this when you were in high school? Like, oh, I want to play the oboe, you know?
What was your introduction to music, Blair? Tell us about that.
Oh, well, my family lived in Austria when I was a child, so I was exposed to a lot of music. And I'm from North Carolina. In the sixth grade, we were all marched into the band room and allowed to choose our instruments. I was third from the end of the alphabet, and all that was left were oboes and bassoons. So the oboe, I was a small kid. The oboe looked much easier to deal with on a bicycle. So
really?
I ended up with the oboe.
There you go. See that?
Okay, then.
Sometimes in life, our decisions are made for us.
That's true. That's
yes.
true.
Well, a lot of people have the old viola in the attic story. But we, you know, this was mine.
When we have an accomplished musician on the show such as yourself, especially when it comes to an orchestral type situation, it makes me think about children that are interested in pursuing music, not maybe as a career, but just as a lifelong love, something they can always go back to. Isn't it amazing how many schools are simply starting to discount the arts in so many different ways? I'm fortunate. I have a 12-year-old son. He's a clarinetist. He's self-teaching piano, and he really loves it. And we're in a school district that still values the arts. That really isn't the case all over the place anymore.
Well, I have to say, I think there's a bit of mythology surrounding all of this. Because
okay.
In my experience, I never really saw a school district that had much involvement in the arts. I mean, most of them do have some kind of a band program. In North Carolina, we didn't have any kind of string program, so there wasn't an orchestra or anything like that. But we did have an all-state band program. So I hear a lot of gnashing of teeth, and I would never want to discourage a school program from taking up some more arts education, but I'm not sure it's really on the decline that much. And a lot of city agencies and things, YMCAs, they have all kinds of really inexpensive music classes you can take, even if the school system isn't providing the education that you want.
That is a good point. You do have to go outside the school system. There are, in our part of the country, I know they've reduced the arts budgets in many different ways, where you would have maybe 4 full-time music teachers, you're down to 2, and it's kind of, everybody is packed into the same area, and you don't have the specialization that you used to. And it's not just music. Drama is being cut also in many different school districts. So it's not pronounced in some parts of the country. In some, yeah, it is a little bit. But it is such a valuable resource for a child, for anyone, to have the access to music, because it develops you in so many different ways.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Just because the discipline that I learned as a musician, and also the ability to, people are so terrified of public speaking. I'm just so used to it. I like it. It's something very appealing to me to just get up on stage and perform. And
right.
I think that's valuable in business or law or.
Speaking of business, you are a business reporter. You wrote for the New York Times, the LA Times, a paper in France and in Sydney. So you did that too?
What can't you do?
Well, it was funny. I was offered this. I had written a business piece when I was in journalism school at Stanford and playing as an extra in the San Francisco Symphony and teaching music at Berkeley and doing all of this stuff. And I was offered a staff business reporter job, and I remember sitting there my first day, and there's this famous musician's cartoon of an elephant sitting in front of a piano saying, "What am I doing at the piano? I'm a flutist, for crying out loud." And I was sitting behind, you know, watching the Bloomberg tape come in, and I'm like, "What am I doing here?" But I learned, and it actually turned out to be a very good background for writing in general and research for journalism.
And you once performed with Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts. How did that come about?
Oh, there's an old set called Charlie Parker with Strings, and mm-hmm. I think it's maybe 8 string players, a harp, and oboe. And so he has, for fun, he's got this jazz quintet. And so that's scored for this combination of things. And a friend of mine was just hiring the musicians for it, and I ended up being the oboist at the Blue Note.
Very nice.
And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was at that point just completely uninformed about rock and roll and pop music. Like, I didn't recognize Keith Richards when he was at the table,
no.
like 5 feet away from me.
That's funny. Have you ever had a thought like, oh, I would love to perform with so-and-so, dead or alive, like a dream collaboration type of thing?
Well, especially after this show, I would certainly love to collaborate with Mozart.
Mm. I mean, sure.
He sounded like a pretty interesting human being, very scatological. Lots of his letters are absolutely unbelievably filthy.
Mm.
Jokester, fantastic musician.
Was he a jokester?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
yeah, Mozart.
Really?
He
had quite a personality. And, you know, if somehow, some way, you were able to cross planes and talk to Mozart right now, the first thing he would say to you, Blair, I want residuals because you're using my name in your book and now on this highly successful television series.
Not only that, he's He's actually a character in the series.
That's right.
See that? That's right.
That's funny.
Mozart would be having his lawyers talking to your lawyers. So,
that's
well,
for sure.
You are by far one of the most multi-talented people we've ever had on this show.
Yeah, no kidding.
So many different facets, and we wish you best of luck. Again, if you haven't read the book, check it out. It is great. Mozart in the Jungle, Sex, Drugs, and Classical Music. Check out the TV series of the same name on Amazon. Blair's website is blairtindall.com. Blair, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffel.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.